Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Newell getting the day off. Good morning. I'm Dave Cohen. Glad to be joining you here on this Friday morning after the Tuesday record snowstorm here in South Louisiana. I have a one-hour commute normally from my home in Tangipahoa Parish to the studio, but this morning I am now over 3 hours into that commute, and I still have not made it quite yet to our studios, so I'm joining you over the phone, and we'll get you all the information you need here on WWL. Jack Thibodeau is on the live line with us as well. He is the director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, good morning. How's it going today?
Well, you know, my one-hour commute is now over 3 hours because, well, everything remains closed in terms of the interstates and the bridges and the roads. So, you know, it's frustrating, but we all kind of get it, I think. How are you hanging in?
Good, doing good. Right now, our biggest thing we're fighting is all of the boil water advisories across the whole southern end of the state and just trying to get these water systems back up in line.
Before we get into that, tell me what's going on with the interstates, with I-55 still closed from Ponchatoula to Laplace, with I-10 still closed from Laplace to Slidell. What are the challenges that were not anticipated that are not allowing the state to reopen these vital roads?
Well, the whole issue that's coming into play on anything that has not been cleared or opened yet fully is all based on the fact that it's over water. And that sunlight is radiating on the road, but the water temperatures directly beneath these elevated structures is making it very, very much a challenge to clear everything, to get all the snow and the ice off. And if they get an area that's clear, they will get very small patches of ice that is extremely dangerous on an elevated body or elevated structure that's over water. So that's what they're facing right now. And New Orleans is the primary focus. New Orleans, the whole North Shore, Tangipahoa, Bayou River parishes is the primary focus right now.
And I know that you can't give us any specific timeline, but I know a lot of people are wondering, when will the I-10 be open over the Bonnie Carey Spillway? When will it be open in Metairie, in Kenner, and New Orleans, all the way to Slidell? Do you have any indication from those folks out there fighting this fight on how much more work is still ahead of them?
We do. And it looks like the New Orleans district is telling us for DOTD and state our state police elements that are out there that we're expecting it to be open today, this afternoon. We're hoping by about 4 or 5 o'clock that those structures will be open today.
All right. The fight continues. The battle goes on. It's unprecedented, something that we've never had to confront before to this magnitude here in the greater New Orleans area. And I guess we're learning as we go along, also learning about more and more pipes that have broken at homes and businesses, problems with water systems across the southern end of the state. And you talked about the boil water advisories and the pressure losses. Where are we at in that battle to try and keep the water pressure high enough that we don't have to see more boil water advisories?
Well, you know, first off, it started yesterday when we started to see a couple of parishes had major breaks in their water lines. And then we started seeing the boil water advisories pop up as the water begins flowing. So there, right now, to give you the perspective, there are 31 schools that parishes, the schools have closed that originally were going to open, but they can't open because there's no fresh water and the toilets are a problem. So when you talk about that, 31 schools, meaning 31 parishes, still have pretty much all anywhere where a school is closed, there's a boil water advisory. And it's all because the pressure has dropped below the required LDH requirement on that. So we anticipate to this afternoon we will get a better picture. And from our standpoint at GOSEP, is just getting resources to the parishes so they can fight these broken water lines.
Yeah, I know when you and I spoke yesterday, you were optimistic that today would be the normal day, that finally, after everything yesterday, you thought you could get through the worst of it and people would be going back to school, going back to work, government offices would be reopened. But we saw a lot of school districts here in the greater New Orleans area decide it was better not to do that. Businesses are still struggling with the decision, can we safely get our people into work? And now with the water pressure issues today, sadly, not a normal day, at least in this region of the state. Do you think that by Monday we can count on it getting back to normal?
Absolutely. I do think we're going to get there because we're going to start seeing those temperatures Saturday and Sunday get into the low 50s and then high 60s is what we're going to see, which is extremely odd that we were in single digits a couple of days ago, and now we're going to be up in these high elements. But I think you're going to see our normal practice will be in there for certain by Monday. And we're fighting as hard as we can to get us stabilized and ready to open businesses and all those centers by Saturday or Sunday.
We're talking with Jacques Thibodeau, the director of the Louisiana Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, as now we are one more day into the recovery from the largest snowfall we've seen in New Orleans and in South Louisiana in some 130 years. Jacques, what else do folks need to know as we see it warming up, we anticipate everything starting to melt off, and we get closer and closer to getting back to normal?
Just please be safe out there. I know that everybody is extremely frustrated, and I can just tell you that we're doing everything within our power to make it better, and just please be safe. That's all I ask people to do. Just be safe out there.
Yeah, there's no doubt, and I can tell you from being on, I took U.S. 51 to U.S. 61 into the city, and I can tell you, because I did it yesterday going the other way, and I can tell you today a lot more people are out and about. A lot more people have decided they can't sit still any longer, either for financial reasons, because they need things, because the boss told them to come to work, or for whatever reason, but clearly a lot more people are getting out today, and that congestion with the interstate still closed and with limited travel is leading to serious log jams on the roads in the area.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. And I mean, you know, some people don't have the option. They don't have any time off that are paid. And they if they don't work, they don't get paid. So we certainly understand that. And we're committed to all of you out there to giving you the best efforts and the best products we can to make this thing better.
Jacques, final words you want to share with listeners as they deal with yet another day of this snow crisis and the frustrations that are building across the area as people try to find some sense of normalcy?
Well, I just want to thank the Louisiana people for just heeding our warnings. You know, for us, it's all about keeping people safe, and I just want to extend my thanks and tell you we're going to be here right there with you, and we're not going to quit.
Jacques Thibodeau, the director of the Louisiana Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. We know this has been a long stretch for you. We look forward to talking to you on Monday and finding out that the picture is much better and much brighter. I would wish you have a great weekend, but I know it's going to be a working weekend for you. So,
yes, sir. Thank you. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Jacques Thibodeau here on WWL. All right, Coleman, let's take a break so I can get out of the car and get up to the studio, and we'll be back on the Newell Norman Show. I'm Dave Cohen on WWL.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
UL.
10:28 on your Friday after the Tuesday record snowstorm and ridiculously cold weather that moved across Greater New Orleans and Southeast Louisiana. Ghassan Corbon is with us now. He is the executive director of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board, and we are seeing problems not only in the city of New Orleans, but across South Louisiana now with water systems. So let's get a check on what's going on with the system here in the Crescent City. Ghassan, good morning. Thanks for joining us. I know it's been a long 4 days for you.
They sure have, and good morning to you. And I can happily report to everyone that the system is stabilizing and we're getting back to normal. We have a very good handle on the water main breaks that we've had. We're basically catching up a little bit from those only because we couldn't get out and respond to those for, you know, 2.5 days. So that set us back, but we're very confident that we're going to catch up by the end of the weekend. And the pressures are back, almost back to normal across the city. And we just determined that the New Orleans East, where we had called boil water advisory, the pressure is above 20. So we will be taking samples momentarily, and it takes 24 hours before we can lift the boil water advisory. So hopefully we can do that tomorrow around about, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Well, that's mostly good news. I know that we're hearing about homes and businesses with breaks. I know you're dealing with a number of frozen, broken pipes in the system. But the fact that you've been able to maintain the pressure, except for out there in limited portions of New Orleans East, above 20 pounds per square inch, so we haven't had to worry about a boil water advisory, that has to be encouraging.
It was very encouraging. Obviously, we were very concerned because, one, you don't control the temperatures and you don't control people's behaviors. But overall, we feel that people heeded to our advice and ran a trickle to avoid burst pipes. And, you know, the numbers that we received have been not minimizing anybody's issue by any means. One is one too many, but, you know, the numbers were not staggering by any means. So people, you know, prepared and did what they needed to do. And it was a tough message for folks in terms of, you know, conservation conserving water, but while still running water to avoid freezing. So we knew that was a little bit of a challenging message for folks, but overall, I think people did very well responding to our messaging, and we as a city fared well. And it's always a concern that we lose pressure across the city and having to call boil water advisory across the entire city, which is never a good thing. And we avoided that, so I'm happy about that.
Yeah, and particularly now, the airport is back up and running. I saw as I slowly passed it this morning on my three-hour drive of what is normally a one-hour commute, planes taking off and landing again. And we know that we have a huge convention in town, and a lot of the hotels and restaurants are really needing to get people in and get the business running again, and not having to worry about boiling water makes that a whole lot better. Not everyone, though, is faring as well as you did as a system. We are seeing a lot of breaks at people's homes. What is your advice to people if they do have a burst pipe at their home or their business?
Well, obviously, call a plumber as soon as you can. There is a temporary measure that people can do, which is finding your shutoff valve, typically at the front of your house where the water enters your house from the city. And you can control that by shutting it off. And then you won't have water, but at least you can minimize the damage that may be associated with the burst pipe. And then obviously getting queue. I'm sure the plumbers across the city are very, very busy. But from what I'm hearing, they've been very responsive. Again, you know, I'm driving around. I'm seeing some of those, but I'm also seeing people out there doing what they need to do. So biggest advice is find that valve and shut the water off, especially if it's spraying against your house or causing damage.
Yeah, obviously, if you can't isolate that pipe and keep it from leaking, you got to just shut all of the water off at this point, not only so that they don't hurt the water pressure across the city, but also clearly so they stop water from spraying into their home.
Absolutely.
You have experience with winter weather. I know you spent time up in Milwaukee and you've been elsewhere in the country. When in places that are so much colder, so much longer, and so much more often up north, we don't hear about bursting pipes at homes. We don't hear about water pressure drops and boil water advisories. What is the difference down here? Is it the way we construct? Is it lower cost materials to save money in construction? What is it that's different here that when we do see these hard freezes, we tend to have a lot more problems than do in places that are cold a lot more of the year?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the way we construct installed pipes in the northern, you know, colder weather states are much different. They're much deeper. Most houses have basements where the entry of, you know, happens, and it's much warmer. It's heated, and just people know what to do because it's a kind of normal way of life for them. I remember advising people to run a trickle on very, very cold days to avoid some burst pipes. So it's not, it doesn't happen, but people are more accustomed to it and they just, you know, organically do what they need to do to protect their systems. But I think the depth of the pipes is definitely the biggest difference, not having an exposed crawl space where the pipes are in the city, and obviously more vulnerable for frigid temperatures.
As we confront more severe weather swings, and we know that we've seen that in recent years, I don't want to get political about it. I don't even want to discuss the science of it because that's too controversial. But I think there's no doubt that when we look at what's happened here recently, we are seeing more crazy cold, more crazy hot, more extremes for whatever reason. Do you think we need to reconsider, and will you, as the executive director of the Sewage and Water Board of New Orleans, consider that as pipes are replaced, as things are repaired, as the system is aging over time, different approaches? We had problems with the drought last summer causing more breaks in lines because of shifting of soil. Now we're having freezes and breaks in lines. Do we have to reconsider how we do things, and do we have to engineer it differently, even if it is going to be more costly on the front end?
Well, I mean, that's a very tough situation to mitigate, to be honest with you. The only scenarios where you can control and improve the construction methods and go deeper with the installation is mostly on newer installation, or if you are replacing what you have. So it would be an enormous effort to, you know, change it across the city. It will take years. But what I would advise folks is to take cold temperature more seriously, be more proactive. There are ways to insulate your pipes in a more permanent fashion. You know, hire a professional to do it unless you're handy and you can do it right, and just be preemptive. And you can really minimize the impact of, I think that would be the most practical and impactful way, really, in the future. Take these temperatures and these forecasts more seriously. Expect more of them to happen, and just don't wait till the last minute where the quality of the work is not right. Just do it systematically and be ready, and you will gain the benefit of that.
Talking with Ghassan Korban, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. A lot of the smart meters have been now installed across the city, and I know that's a project you're continuing that will take some time to get them all out there. But I did hear earlier that if you've already had a smart meter put in at your home or business, that the way you shut off your water may be different. It used to be a lot of people would just go to that meter and cut the water off at the meter to keep it from flowing to their house, either to prevent freezing or if they have a pipe burst. With those smart meters, you don't want them to do that, right?
Absolutely. Those meters are more sensitive, and obviously they're more sophisticated. So we do not want people to tamper with them at all. But one thing that is the smart meters are providing, which is a great feature, is that it gives you real-time indicator that you have something happening that's unusual. So if you have a leak under your house and you may not know it, you can check the monitor your usage, and you will likely detect that something is happening. And we are able to do that for you as well. As a matter of fact, we yesterday monitored all the smart meter customers, and we were able to send a handful of about 400 or 500 emails to our customers alerting them of a possible leak.
So you saw unusually high usage suddenly at a location through the smart meters. It tells you that, and then you can tell the customers, hey, you might want to check. Looks like you're using a whole lot of water. All of a sudden, you might have a leak.
Absolutely, spot on. That's exactly what happened. And obviously, once we're done with the entire installation by the end of this year, we will be able to provide that service to everybody. And you don't really need to wait for us to tell you. You'd be able to, through access to the app, monitor your consumption yourself and know in real time what's going on with your water.
All right. Stop dripping the faucets, folks. And if you have a leak, shut it off at your home's main valve where it comes into your house, either on the front or on the side, and help the city keep that pressure above 20 pounds per square inch so we do not have to have any more boil water advisories in addition to the ones we're seeing in neighborhoods out in the eastern portion of New Orleans. Ghassan Korban, anything else you want to share before we let you run and get back at it?
No, beautifully said, spot on. And again, a big thank you for all the people who heeded our advice and did their part and kept us out of a worse situation. So we weathered the storm together, and I want to thank everybody for doing their part.
Ghassan, thank you for joining us, and hopefully you get some rest and a little relaxation this weekend, but I know there's still a whole lot of work ahead. Have a good one. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, you too. Bye-bye.
504-260-1870. That's the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. I want to hear from you. If you have any questions at all, any observations or any comments, we had thought that today would be back to normal. There was a lot of optimism from a lot of local leaders, state officials, and others that, you know, the snow fell on Tuesday, and that by today on Friday, life would return to normal. Schools would be open. Government offices would be up and running. Businesses would be able to return to normal, start making money again. And people would be able to get out and get the things they needed. But it really isn't that today. And it more so in some places than others. I got to tell you, I came to the radio station at 1 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So late Monday night, I came back to the station and knew we were going to have to hunker down and spend significant time here, because with the forecast we had for record snowfall, with the lack of salt and plows and de-icing and all the other things that they have in communities used to this kind of weather, I knew it was going to be a long haul. And yesterday, I finally decided I had to go back to the house. I had to go see my wife. I had to go take care of some things. And so I normally have a 1 hour commute from downtown New Orleans to LaRonger. And going home yesterday, it was, and I made a stop, but it took me just under 2.5 hours to get home. But what was so remarkable to me and so notable was that I expected the traffic jam on Airline Highway that I saw as I made my way from New Orleans to LaPlace. US 51 headed from LaPlace up to Ponchatoula wasn't bad at all, other than some people wanting to go 80 miles an hour and cutting in and out of traffic and nearly causing head-on collisions. I labeled them ice holes. But other than that, it wasn't a bad drive. It wasn't a bad commute. But I got to Hammond, and my wife had asked me to pick up some food. She wanted some hot food and bring it home. And I was really surprised that when I got to Hammond, the mall parking lot was completely full. All of the stores were open. People were going in and out. Gas stations and convenience stores all along in Hammond were open. I had my pick of fast food restaurants to go through a drive-through and get some food. Everything other than piles of snow and ice, you know, along the sides of the roads and in the middle, and the grass still be covered with snow. And I know there was less snowfall north of the lake than south of the lake. And I know they were able to keep the interstates open, I-55 and I-12 north of the lake open where they couldn't south of the lake. But it looked like, other than some snow around, a really normal hustle and bustle Thursday afternoon. In New Orleans and Jefferson Parish when I left, there wasn't a single place open. The gas stations weren't open. The restaurants weren't open. The stores weren't open. And everything was still at a standstill. And that's just an observation. But it was shocking to me. And so I figured it only took me, if I had not stopped and gone through a drive-through, brought some food home, it would have taken me right about 2 hours to get home, which is a normally one-hour commute. When I came back this morning, it took over 3 hours to get here, and it was bumper to bumper. Even though they had St. Charles Parish Sheriff's deputies running the lights and directing traffic on Airline, they had to keep stopping traffic to let the arteries feed in. They had to let people get in and out of the neighborhoods, in and out of the plants, in and out of the shopping areas. So it was frustrating. A 3 hour commute, what is normally a 1 hour commute. And I've been watching the cameras on 511LA.org and on the state's website. And most of the interstates over the Bonnie Carey Spillway, through Kenner and Metairie, out to the high rise, and all the way to the Twin Spans, you can still see glistening on the roads. And you can still see snow up against the Jersey walls and on either side. So hopefully, and you heard just a few minutes ago, Jacques Thibodeau from the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, hopefully it's not too much longer till they open them, but he said it may be 5 o'clock this evening before they get the interstates through St. Charles, Jefferson, and Orleans Parish is open. And so I will warn you, if you think you're going to go anywhere fast today south of the lake, you're just not. It's not going to happen. There's just way too much traffic. Way too many people have, either out of necessity or out of desire, decided that they want to get out and go. And the boss may have told them they had to come to work. Someone texted me earlier, said, I have a boss hole made me come to work today. even though the interstates and the bridges aren't open. It's helpful that the causeway has now opened. And in fact, if it had opened just an hour earlier, I probably would have gone that way and saved at least half an hour. But still, once you hit the South Shore with the interstates closed, it's still going to be an extremely slow go. So I'm taking a breath. I'm taking it in stride. It is what it is. And here we are. I'd love to know your thoughts at 504-260-1870. I am going to be optimistic and hopeful that Monday will be normal, that we will be able to return to what we are used to on Monday, because we will have a sustained period of temperatures in the 50s and the 60s and maybe even the 70s. And all of this will be a distant memory. And hopefully you have great memories of playing in the snow, building snow people, sledding and sliding and enjoying it and being a part of history. But I don't think today a lot of people are enjoying a lot of the frustration that comes with it. I want to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll run down what's open and closed up next. Take your calls and texts. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. Call me now, 504-260-1870. 1051, Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. If you don't have to come into the greater New Orleans area, particularly on the South Shore today, I would highly recommend that you not do it. It is ugly, horrible, terrible, no good, very bad. I'm looking at live cameras from the Twin Spans. Twin Spans remain closed of people trying to get in from Slidell. The backup is ridiculous trying to get to Highway 11. I just came in from the North Shore via US 51 to US 61 airline and tried to come in that way. My 1 hour commute was 3 hours. Chris Miller is trying to come in from the West Bank on the Crescent City connection. Chris, what's it like trying to get in that way?
Yeah, my 20-minute commute has been 90 minutes and counting so far. It is, I'm just now stepping on to, wouldn't say the bridge, but the expressway to the bridge at De Gaulle, and it is bumper to bumper. My biggest mistake was getting on De Gaulle too soon. I got onto General De Gaulle down around MacArthur Boulevard, where it was already bumper to bumper, and probably spent about an hour there before I decided nuts to this, and I took some side streets and went to Shirley Drive, which is the that's the last light before you hit the bridge if you're coming up General De Gaulle. And that wasn't a problem. There are only a few cars waiting at that light, so that's kind of the secret sauce right now. And
not
I didn't
anymore.
Have to do anything. Well, not anymore. I just spilled it, but I didn't mind spilling it because, one, I've already taken that route, but two, it's, I would hope that by the end of the weekend, at least, they get more of the Pontchartrain Expressway reopened.
Yeah, well, we talked to Jacques Thibodeau. He thinks maybe 5 o'clock this afternoon everything will be reopened. But before then, no, I wouldn't try it. We're looking at live cameras from the West Bank Expressway. It's backed up, I think, all the way to West Wego now as people try to get to the connection. I'm not sure why they're not going the Huey, but it must be backed up that way, too.
I didn't even know the West Bank Expressway had reopened.
No, ground level. I'm sorry. It's a ground level Expressway. Yeah, I should have clarified that. But everywhere we're looking, all routes into the city, we're seeing similar to what you're experiencing right now. It's just gridlock because clearly the interstate system here in New Orleans and Jefferson serves a really important travel artery and has a purpose. And when it's not there, we just can't handle this kind of traffic.
Absolutely. And we don't have that many river crossings to begin with in the New Orleans area. Really, it's just the Crescent City connection and the Huey. And, you know, unless you go up to Luling and take the Hale Boggs Bridge.
And that's closed.
And another issue is I noticed a long line of traffic of people. Basically, they're coming from Gretna to get onto the Crescent City connection. And there's not really a good place to U-turn if you have to get on at De Gaulle Riverbound, because usually traffic headed in that direction, there's a ramp that curves around and puts you on the expressway to set you up to get on the bridge. That's not open. The only place to get on is General De Gaulle headed towards the river. So people trying to come in from that part of the West Bank, they've got to travel down De Gaulle going away from the bridge for a little ways before they can find a place to U-turn. And then, of course, they've got to U-turn into traffic that is bumper to bumper, a good mile and a half on down the boulevard. So that is another problem that people are having.
Absolutely.
So until they can get that Curlicue ramp reopened. That's a problem if anyone's coming in from that direction. And if you're just trying to get around on the West Bank today and your path would normally take you across General de Gaulle Boulevard between, say, the bridge and the Intercoastal Waterway Bridge down where you go to English Turn, try and cross de Gaulle as close to the Intercoastal Waterway as possible, because just getting across is a real pain because people, of course, are trying to inch their way through the intersections and they're not leaving enough space for people to cross.
Yeah, and so you have gridlock. Yeah, and a lot of people are doing that. They are getting into the intersections thinking that they don't want to wait for the next change of the light because they've already waited for a whole bunch of changes of lights. So we are ending up with literal gridlock. Thank you, Chris. We'll let you continue to slowly trudge your way across the river. We'll check in with you coming up next hour to see how much progress you make and how long it takes you to cross the bridge. D, thanks for calling. You are on WWL. You've been trying to get into the city too, huh?
Yes, I left my house in Marrero at 6:50 this morning. I just arrived in the Lower Garden District. Took me 4 hours.
4 hours. Where were you going? What was your destination?
Well, I work in the Lower Garden District.
Gosh, you're going to work.
So, yes, I was going to work. And normally it's a 20 to 30 minute commute on a normal day. After about 2 hours, I tried to turn around to go back home in Marrero. And unfortunately, with the elevated expressway closed, Harvey Tunnel from east to west is closed, and the La Palco Bridge is closed. The only way to get back across the canal is the 4th Street Bridge.
Yeah, River Road, yeah.
So that was gridlock. Sat in that for a while. Finally turned back around and came up the back way through Gretna by the LASPCA and jumped on Mardi Gras Boulevard and caught the ramp that way. But, yes. 4 hours.
I probably would have been 4 hours, but I jumped to River Road on the East Bank when I got near the airport and came in that way because airline was literal gridlock. So I was right over 3 hours. You're at 4 hours. I couldn't turn around and go home. That wasn't an option for me. But
I was trying to, but it wasn't an option. So I finally turned back around to come back.
Well, I hope.
So now I finally made it to work 4 hours later.
I hope the boss is happy that you're there.
You know, at this point,
is the boss there?
I didn't really have a choice because I couldn't. I would have sat in traffic just as long trying to get home on that one 4th Street bridge where everybody else was trying to go that same direction.
Well, hopefully Jacques Thibodeau is right and the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness and everything is open this evening. So when you go home, it should be much better. But I wouldn't. Let's believe it when we see it. Melissa, thanks for calling. You are on WWL.
Hey, Dave. It's Melissa Lee.
Hey, Melissa. How are you?
Hey. I'm good. Thanks. I'm still driving, but I'm on my way to work. I'm going downtown to the aquarium. And
what time did you leave?
I left before 10, so it's been an hour, and I'm still on Highway 90. I'm going through Venetian Isles now.
Ah, you tried to go that way. So you actually made it across Highway 11, across the lake.
I did, but there's a lot of cars coming from Old Spanish Trail coming across on 433 to this route. It's clear. The road is clear.
Of ice, not of cars. Clear of ice.
Oh, no. Clear of ice, clear of snow, not clear of cars. Both of the bridges were open, surprisingly, and they were very clear. It looked like a lot of people had been through there today. There are... I just met an 18-wheeler coming across that small bridge at Venetian Isles, which is a little scary.
Yeah, you don't want someone on the other side in a big ring when you're coming across.
That's no, that white not
knuckle.
At all.
Yeah,
it's bad enough when it's just a car, but an 18-wheeler coming that way was a little unnerving. But it looks like Audubon's open, the zoo's open, the aquarium's open, so people who are tired of being in their houses can at least get out and do
particularly
something.
Particularly if they can walk there, yeah. Thank you, Melissa. Listen, check back in with us next hour. Let us know how it is getting over the Danziger and into town that way. But I'm telling you, folks, we're hearing from all points, north, south. Well, not south, but, west is technically. So the West Bank is technically south. So north, south, east, and west, it's ridiculously long to get in to Greater New Orleans. We're back after the news.